Disney CEO Bob Iger has recently confirmed to The Hollywood Reporter that they are killing some major projects over at the House of Mouse, and we think that some of our beloved Marvel movies, even Avengers 5, could be on the chopping block. Welcome back to Screen Crush, I'm Ryan Airy. Now, in that interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Bob Iger said, "You have to kill things you no longer believe in, and that's not easy in this business, because either you've gotten started, you have some sunk costs, or it's a relationship with either your employees or with the creative community. It's not an easy thing, but you've got to make those tough calls. We've actually made those tough calls. We've not been public about it, but we've killed a few projects already that we just didn't feel were strong enough.
Perfectly balanced, as all things should be."
He did sound like a little Thanos-y, didn't he? But the question is Bob Iger right? A little later, I'm going to be joined by our friend Colton Ogburn, the man eternally trapped in our tiny television, but he doesn't know it, so please don't tell him. And Colton is going to tell us which movies and series from the MCU lineup could have been snapped from existence by Iger. But first, let's talk about what it even means to cancel a project and the impact a cancellation can have on different projects, especially based on how far they are into production. Now, we have seen Warner Brothers cancel films like Batgirl and Coyote vs. Acme, films that were completed and ready to be released, but instead the studio canned the films so they could write them off as losses on their taxes. Now, I'm not sure how much money they can save on their taxes when they write off two movies with budgets of nearly $100 million, but it must have been more than they thought the film would make at the box office. But box office dollars are not the only consideration when you decide to cancel a project. In Batgirl's case, the movie was apparently really bad, like unwatchable. New DC co-boss Peter Safran had this to say about the film. "I saw the movie. There are a lot of incredibly talented people in front of and behind the camera in that film, but that was not releasable." It happens sometimes. Releasing a film that you think is going to be panned by critics and audiences can monetarily damage your overall brand, and DC is having enough problems. I mean, look at The Flash.
What the f- did you just say?
I said what I said. But Marvel Studios, on the other hand, never had that problem. Kevin Feige always ran a tight ship and put out a quality product. The only major MCU movie I remember being canceled during the Infinity Saga was The Inhumans, and that never even started principal photography, and actually Kevin Feige never wanted to make it to begin with. But the MCU's multiverse saga is another story. Following the post-pandemic financial panic, Feige and Marvel Studios were pushed to expand way too fast, and Feige was stretched way too thin. He was even forced to announce projects to the public that he wasn't fully ready to greenlight, all to boost Disney Plus numbers and reassure Disney stockholders. And now, we are seeing that haste come back to bite them in the you-know-where.
In the butt.
Yes. Now, with Bob Iger back in charge at Disney, Kevin Feige has been given the breathing room that he needs to run Marvel Studios the way he used to. And that means some projects are just going to be cut. Not just projects that haven't started filming, but maybe even some projects that have been filmed, edited, and are waiting to be released. Because if those projects aren't very good, they could actually do more harm than good to the Marvel brand. And let's face it, Marvel can't take many more flops, both at the box office and on Disney Plus. Marvel Studios used to be looked at as a quality guaranteed type of brand, but now it's just a roll of the dice on whether or not a Marvel project is going to be any good. Forget great. And as a longtime MCU fan, it's really depressing. And as you guys know, I've had other times in my life when I've been super depressed all the time, and that has taken me to some dark places. So I'm here to tell you, seriously, that if you are hurting, therapy can help. Therapy can also help you learn positive coping skills, how to set boundaries, and how to live an all-around happier life. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. They're our sponsor for this video. BetterHelp is entirely online, very convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a short questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So guys, if you're hurting, therapy can help. Visit betterhelp.com/screencrush today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/screencrush. Now, we're going to talk to Colton in just a second about all these different projects that could have been canceled, but as always, I want to hear from all of you guys. What projects do you think Marvel should cancel or should have canceled to begin with, or what projects do you hope they're still going to keep on the books? Personally, the one I'm looking forward to the most that I hope isn't canceled is Armor Wars. It's a great story that I'm going to explain to you just a little bit later. Now, in a little bit, I want to talk about Armor Wars because I think it is the biggest opportunity that Marvel has been squandering so far. It really should have been a centerpiece of the multiverse saga. But first, Colton Ogburn, can you walk me through all of these potential projects that Marvel might have canceled silently in the middle of the night, like so many daggers from the Black Riders and Bree?
Sure. So I went through, and there are a few that I feel like we know they're going to come out. We know that they're not going to can Captain America 4. That's not going to happen.
Harrison Ford's in that. Yeah.
Right, yeah. So I went through and I pulled a few that I thought could be on the chopping block. And the first one is Ironheart. You know, we met Ironheart.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wakanda Forever. I love her character. She felt a little shoehorned into the movie. Felt like they were trying to promote the Disney Plus show a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Yeah. No, I think the same. I thought the same thing at the time. I was like, look, this character's good, but she really doesn't. It could have been any scientist in the movie, and it really felt like they were going, this is our new strategy. We introduce characters in here, and then they get spinoffs. That show is in the can, right? Didn't they finish filming that last year?
From what I understand, and, you know, that's what's unfortunate here. You know, we both made the point that we enjoyed the character, but I find myself asking on a lot of these that we're going to go through, who asked for this? You know, there's so many other things that I would like them to focus on more so. And yeah, I do believe Ironheart has been in the can for a while. And so the question becomes, well, if they're going to release it, why haven't they released it? I mean, even if they were going to do the Echo thing and just drop it all at once. But I believe you made the point a little earlier. Could it be so bad that they're like, this is going to do more harm than good.
Right.
We're just throwing it away.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting with Echo. I've been in touch with some people from the show who have told me that they filmed six episodes, that they wrote and filmed six episodes. And I think it was Can We Get Some Toast had a post where they talked about how they outlined what every episode was supposed to be. And it seems like Echo was more heavily tied into Daredevil Born Again, like the original concept. Right. And they ended up just like kind of Frankensteining that thing. And like maybe to save money, maybe just because they wanted to like introduce the elements that had to be introduced, like Wilson Fisk running for mayor. So that one I kind of get. With Ironheart, I've heard two different things. I've heard there's insider rumblings that the show is really not good, and that might be one reason it's getting buried. But the people who worked on the show, I won't say who, but there were prominent people who worked on the show who had an interview with a colleague of mine, and even with the cameras off, they were like, we are so excited about this. Like, you know, there's a thing where, like, they'll tell people off the record, like, hey, this is good. But they, off the record, they were like, no, we are really excited to see the work we've done. So if it is canned, if it does go the way of Coyote versus Acme and Batgirl, like we talked about earlier, it might be a shame because it sounds like it's got an exciting cast, Anthony Ramos. I hate to see it not see the light of day after all these people worked on it, even if it isn't that good.
I would also hate for that to be the case. And, you know, it's unfortunate for, you know, anyone who has their show cut. But, you know, and you and I have both done like behind the camera stuff. I think when you're on set making a show, you can sometimes feel a little bit more confident about it than really you should. And maybe once that show or movie gets into the edit and you have to start, in Marvel's case, incorporating it into a wider universe, it can become a little problematic. So I'm hopeful that Kevin Feige will do whatever he needs to do. I hope he'll make that difficult choice, like Iger mentioned in his quote.
I hope it can just become a special presentation or something, that we still get to see whatever that story was going forward. What else you got? What's next?
Next would be a show called Vision Quest, which I didn't even realize.
Man, I wanted to see that.
Yeah, when I was going through the list, I was like, I completely forgot they even mentioned this. So from what I understand, Vision Quest would be about, you know, at the end of WandaVision, White Vision, he flies off out of Wanda's hex, out of the library, and supposedly teasing a return of the Vision. I personally thought it'd be something with, like, Young Avengers, but I think that's something that we'll talk about here shortly, probably. Young Avengers, I don't see happening as well. But I think Vision Quest is definitely on this list, primarily for the fact that I had even forgotten it was a thing. You seem upset by the fact that Vision is on this list.
I do, because I love that character. I love the idea of an AI rediscovering his emotions. I want to see him and Wanda connect. Vision Quest so obviously is connected to the Young Avengers. The Vision got them together, and I just thought that it would have been a natural continuation of the story we've seen. You know, a character that's been in the movies who we're all invested in. I mean, it is a lot. Like, when they announced Vision Quest, I was like, God, that's a lot of shows. So I get it, but maybe a special presentation, Feige? Maybe, Kevin, please?
God, do you, Ryan, see a scenario where maybe they could combine Vision Quest and a Young Avengers type thing, maybe into, like, a six-episode series?
I thought they were always the same thing. I thought they were always the same thing.
Were they?
And, you know, do you want to talk about Young Avengers right now?
Sure, yeah, go for it.
So the thing about Young Avengers is, right, great comic book. They've obviously been setting it up for a long time. With all these, like, all these different heroes from different, you know, even Elijah, you know, and all these other characters who have been set up, not just, like, Kate Bishop and Kamala. So they obviously have Kate and Kamala and Cassie Lang setting up. set up at the end of The Marvels.
You've just become part of a much larger universe, which at the moment is just me, mostly. I do have feelers out, though. Did you know Ant-Man had a daughter?
I think a lot of people, though, are looking at it and going, like you just said, who asked for this? Well, I've been asking for this, right? I loved Kate Bishop, Kamala Khan, right. A delight, the highlight of The Marvels. I like, look, I like Quantumania, you like The Flash. Sometimes, you know, we're rebels who are ahead of the curve from the rest of society. But I can understand why people after Quantumania went, oh, God, clearly they're setting up Cassie Lang to be in the Young Avengers. But yes, no, they're setting up Cassie Lang to be in the Young Avengers. This is really fun stuff. And I really hope this project goes forward because they've obviously been setting it up, even though they haven't announced it yet.
Well, you know, I'm also excited for the idea of a Young Avengers. My only question was, how do you market something like that? I don't think you actually call the film Young Avengers. I think a title like that works in comics. I don't know that it works in a movie. And in a situation like that, if you're doing Young Avengers, I think Spider-Man would be on the Young Avengers, you know, if it really is like an age qualifying.
That was the whole thing in the comic, too. Where he was like mentoring other teenage superheroes. He was an adult, but it's a whole thing. I mean, the thing about Avengers, though, is like if Hawkling's not in it, then you don't get the relationship between Hawkling and Billy. And that's a whole other thing, too, that like is the heart of that comic book. And Hulkling, I'm guessing, has been replaced with Scar, because why else would they throw Scar into the end of She-Hulk, you know? Sorry, you were saying?
I was just going to say, I think that if you do Young Avengers, that would need to be in a situation where you are setting them up to be the new Avengers, your new lineup. So maybe that's something that would need to come after Secret Wars. My other concern was something like...
They won't be young Avengers. By then, though.
At this
point, all of these young Avengers are going to be in their mid-30s by the time Secret Wars comes out.
Yeah, they'll just be Avengers, or maybe a senior living Avengers if it takes too much longer. So...
Okay.
Next on my list is Agatha, and that show has had like three different titles. Do you know the current title?
I don't know the current title because it's after 4 o'clock right now, and I think it's already changed. They've said that the reason it's had these different titles is because it's part of the trickster nature of Agatha. Look,
I think it's the trickster nature of they don't know what the hell they're doing.
I don't know. When they announced that show, it was in the same breath as like Echo and stuff. And we were all like, oh, my God, Moon Knight. Yeah. And, you know, the Moon Knight trailer came out that same day. And then we saw that. We were like, OK, Agatha show. Let's see what you got. And I think it's really just built on the popularity of Catherine Hahn, who is amazing.
Yeah.
That's one I'm optimistic about, because isn't that a show they have confirmed is coming out this year? Like September, October?
Yeah, I believe it's in the can. It's done. They've put it in advertising, so I think it's good to go. But, as you talked about a little earlier, could it be a show that, you know, if it's not very good, could they pull it? I don't put it past them pulling it. However, you did just mention Catherine Hahn. I also love Catherine Hahn. And she was one of the best parts, I think, of WandaVision, an already great show.
I promise I won't bite.
I actually did bite a kid once.
Okay, so that's Agatha. They may even echo that, and they may put all of that in one episode, or like dump it all in a day. Let's just say that might happen. What's next?
Maybe so. Next is an untitled Okoye show, which would star Danai Gurira. You know, she's made a big return, you know, with The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, playing Michonne. She is a beloved character in the Wakanda movies. I would personally prefer to see her just carry, you know, future Black Panther movies. I think this show was probably announced during a time where they felt the need that they really needed to push Disney Plus. And so I think this is totally one of the shows that is going to get canned, but not for any reason like, oh, it was bad, or we're moving away from that character. No, I think she's going to have a prominent role in future Black Panther stories, but maybe we don't need, you know, another show. And I think that this one probably hasn't even begun filming, so I think it's an easy one to cut, at least for now. Maybe it'll come back later.
Yeah, I've always thought that the end of Wakanda Forever definitely was trying to set up Ironheart and also set up her spinoff when she rescues Ross from the van, who may or may not have been a Skrull, who knows. that's a shame, because I love Danai Gurira. She's a great playwright, too. But I kind of see this in a way, like there's certain projects that have been teased where I think we can combine them. And actually we have a video coming up in just a few days about different MCU teases that haven't paid off. And we have some theories on how those can be combined. So hopefully that story continues on alongside one of these other ones you're going to talk about maybe. What else you got?
Yeah, hopefully. And that's not the only Wakanda spinoff. There's like a Wakanda animated series, and there's lots of animated stuff.
Which they have a trailer for. They've been working on that. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's Marvel Zombies. We have What If. I think What If Season 3 is already done. They released like a scene from it right after the Season 2 finale. So it kind of seems like they might really be going in with animation. Yeah. We've got
Spider-Man Freshman Year, more seasons of X-Men 97. You're right. And that's interesting because there was a point leading up to What If Season 2 where they were like, there were rumbles that Marvel Animation was not a success. Sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to ask, is there any reason that they would do animation over live action? Is there any reason that they would be pushing the animated shows over the live action shows?
Just cheaper. I would think they're cheaper. The voice talent, you either get the people or you don't. Mm-hmm. And if you have to replace Robert Downey Jr., you can. And they probably are looking at it and going, and there's probably just data behind it that says there's has to be a reason why they dropped What If in a week. Where they realize that they probably get more subscribers, or they sustain more subscribers through their kid-friendly animated programs might be an answer. That I don't know. I'd have to hack into Disney's servers and look at their data. But
I'd love to see those animated.
More animation. That's cool. I like the Marvel Animated so far. What's next?
Yeah. This one's going to really hurt you. Wonder Man.
No, they're filmed. Well, a guy did die. That's really sad, actually. A stuntman died on that show.
That was unfortunate.
Yeah, that is really sad.
I'm not sure if they've resumed filming or not after that. I got to be honest with you. You've kept up with that show way more than I have. Mm-hmm. I know you're a big fan of the character. Yeah. Remind me, who's playing Wonder Man?
Yahya Abdul-Mateen II.
And you liked him for Kang, right?
I thought he would have been a good Kang. He's a good Black Manta, but I really wanted to see him. Really, he's just great. I could see him in any role as a superhero. He was great in The Watchmen, great as Black Manta. He's great in The Matrix. That's a shame because that is a really fun character who I think would have really thrived in the tone of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and maybe even setting up a West Coast Avengers team with She-Hulk. Kate Bishop, would have been a great addition to that team too. That'd be a shame because that show has so much potential to be like She-Hulk. You know what I mean? Like this lighthearted parody of show business in a way where She-Hulk, I think, struggled with that line that we've talked about in the past between parody and reality. Yeah. They would have nailed it.
Well, and the case with all these characters is it's not necessarily because they're bad. I think for some of these shows, it will be because it just doesn't hold up to the quality that we expect from Marvel Studios and that they want to try to get back to. But even if all of these shows were decent, it's a lot of characters. And I think that is hurting, like you just mentioned, with Wonder Man. Wonder Man could be a great addition to the MCU. But when you're also introducing 5, 6, 7 other characters right alongside him, it makes it difficult for fans and the general audience to focus in and follow what's going on with the MCU. I think it's overwhelming.
Yeah, and at this point, I keep bemoaning the lack of a Shang-Chi sequel because Shang-Chi is the only solo character from Phase 4 who was introduced with an origin story. You had the Eternals, you have Shang-Chi, and I'm going, okay, so the Eternals I get, not fast-tracking that sequel, but with Shang-Chi, they've taken the director and put him on Avengers instead, and it's like, it'll be years because Marvel was so focused, and Disney as a brand was so focused on expansion and building out instead of building up. So yeah, I guess. Remember when in Age of Ultron, it seemed like there were too many characters? Too many new characters to keep track of. And now it's like, if you were going to put all these characters in something, I mean, look, I don't like you guys who watch the show a lot. No, just make an Avengers movie, bring them all together. Give us a reason to just say, okay, so this one's going to explain everything. Give us a reason to feel like we have to watch everything. Maybe that's what the real key here is.
Yeah. And that's a great point because when they made the first Avengers movie and with Avengers Age of Ultron, those weren't popular characters. Those were characters in a really good movie that fans fell in love with. So I think you're exactly right on that. This next one's near and dear to my heart. Blade. This movie has been through rewrites, fired directors, strikes. I can't remember if they were trying to get it off the ground during COVID. This movie has just been plagued with.
And it's got a great lead, Mahershala Ali. It's a recognizable brand name. Brilliant. It's coming home for Marvel. Yeah. It's the first Marvel film that was not a giant flop. So I think they really wanted to do right by it. And it's set up. I mean, Mahershala Ali's already been in the MCU as a voiceover at the end of The Eternals, but he's there. And it seems like I heard that they were trying out different drafts with Dane Whitman. It didn't really work. Now Dane Whitman might be appearing in Moon Knight Season 2 is the latest rumor I've heard. But, you know, rumors are rumors. Who really knows? But this is that'd be a shame.
It's another example of something that never would have occurred, I don't know, 5-6 years ago.
Right.
You know, during the Infinity Saga when Kevin Feige was paying just as close attention to every single project. There was no project that got more attention over the other. And I think that Blade is yet another example of him being spread way too thin.
Production of Blade reminds me a lot of the DCEU. All these projects like Cyborg and Flash that just were never materialized because they couldn't get the right script, couldn't get the right director because there was the amount of focus they needed. All right, well, what's next?
Speaking of that corner of the MCU, there's Moon Knight Season 2. Now, with Moon Knight, it was originally just going to be like a thing of its own, you know, no season two. But then after the first season came out, you know, people liked it. There were talks of perhaps doing a season two.
Hi.
We talked about how perhaps they could combine some of these shows or movies into different things. Moon Knight, Blade, you know, you could do an awesome Midnight Suns type movie or show and showcase all of these great characters and really put them in a different corner of the MCU. You know, Feige talked about the different corners of the MCU he was trying to build. And I'm all for that. You know, with Werewolf by Night, that was an interesting corner of the MCU. I'm fine with... Yeah, and I'm totally... I kind of like the idea of if Feige wanted to take someone who's been working under him for a long time and has his same eye for what is successful... If they wanted to spin off and kind of have like their R-rated department that did things that were kind of like with what they did with Echo, Marvel Searchlight,
Spotlight.
Right? It was a different banner.
Spotlight.
Yeah. I love that idea of having like a little bit of a different section where they can expand and do more stuff. And that way Feige isn't spread thin on the mainline, you know, MCU Marvel Studios type stuff with the Avengers and all of that interconnection. That might be their way to still produce more, but at the same time, not spread too thin and lose quality.
Or just like, you know, if they're doing the Midnight Suns, do the Midnight Suns. Instead of giving us a season two of Moon Knight, have season two of Moon Knight show these connections, right? Like you said. So just the Screen Rant article, the first search that came up, has a couple little interesting notes. When the Moon Knight Blu-ray is about to drop, and they're calling it the complete first season instead of the complete series, which seems to indicate that they plan on a season two. And Feige has indicated that Moon Knight will return. No, you know, really, it's Oscar Isaac. Of course he's going to return. I don't know, man. Right. Maybe if they want to bring Oscar Isaac back, they do it to elevate the Agatha show and Werewolf by Night. And maybe they've learned from not having an Avengers film in Phase 4 and they want to start bringing these guys together.
Yeah. And you make a good point about, I mean, with Oscar Isaacs and Moon Knight being such a beloved character, all of these characters are great characters, and I hope that even if their movies or shows are cut, that we still get to see the character in some way, shape, or form. You know, you don't have to have a movie or show for every single character. There's a such thing as a really good supporting character. That's what Wanda, Scarlet Witch, and Vision, that's what they were for a long time. They showed up in Captain America and in the Avengers movies, and they were just as big a part of a team as all the other characters. That's what Tony Stark was after Iron Man 3. He didn't have solo movies. He showed up in Avengers movies.
Well, we got to be nearing the end of this chopping block, man. Who else do we have that's...
Well, here's the big one. I think that perhaps Avengers 5, aka what was formerly known, you know, as the Kang Dynasty...
Yeah, that's done.
...could be getting chopped.
Totally chopped because I thought that they got rid of Kang Dynasty. What's going on? What do you mean? Explain yourself. I'm confused.
Well, here's what I mean. They announced when they announced the Phase 6 slate for the Multiverse Saga, they announced Fantastic Four to be at the beginning of that phase, and then we had Avengers 5 and 6, which were going to be Avengers the Kang Dynasty and Avengers Secret Wars, kind of similar to what they did with Infinity War and Endgame. Now, there are a few possibilities. If you'll remember back when they first announced Infinity War, it was called Infinity War Part 1 and Infinity War Part 2. and then they changed that around. I think two things are possible. I'm not doing a technicality here. We know Kang Dynasty is gone. What I mean by getting rid of Avengers 5, I think that we could see whatever date that movie was supposed to come out and that slot, I think that that could just evaporate and we see Avengers Secret Wars, which was going to be the sixth Avengers film, essentially become Avengers 5. I don't know that we're going to see another movie like, say, Avengers versus X-Men replace Avengers 5. We could just see them take Secret Wars, slide it over into that slot, and say, this is the big finale to the multiverse saga.
It's just, you're saying that instead of getting two Secret Wars movies, I think we'll get three Secret Wars movies, to be honest with you. I think they're going to do, I think they're going to go nuts with it because, frankly, you know, we're behind, it's 2024, we're behind on Avengers movies at this point.
Yeah, dude, imagine if they did Secret Wars Part 1, 2, and 3, and they just released them year after year, like 26, 27, 28.
But again, you're getting into like, that's just, it's taken so long. We've been busy introducing Moon Knight and Riri Williams instead of just, give us an Avengers movie. That's my big takeaway. So the last one I think that I want to talk about is Armor Wars. So Armor Wars, near and dear to my heart. Colton, thanks so much for your list. I deeply appreciate it. You guys know you can find Colton's socials below. He's here on Screen Crush all the time. Give him a shout on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Let him know what you think of all of his picks so far. So of all the projects that Colton and I just talked about, I am devastated the most by the potential loss of Armor Wars. Now, this started off as a show that was announced 3 years ago that then was changed into a movie. And like, there's nothing wrong with that. Some shows work better as movies and vice versa.
Moon Knight should have been a movie. Eternals should have been a show.
Exactly. But Armor Wars should have been fast-tracked to release like right after Endgame. Presumably, it would have been based on the 1980s comic book story of the same name. In this crossover, Tony Stark's worst nightmare comes true. His technology falls into the hands of his villains, and Tony and all the other superheroes have to fight to put the genie back in the bottle. In the MCU, Armor Wars would have focused on Rhodey, played by the amazing actor Don Cheadle. Fans love Don Cheadle.
I'm like, boom, you looking for this?
Rhodey was Iron Man in the comics for a long time, and he could have easily been the new Iron Man in the MCU. Don Cheadle could have led this franchise. Like, imagine an Armor Wars movie where Rhodey is trying to secure his best friend's legacy. After Tony's death, maybe Justin Hammer or Ezekiel Stane, the son of Obadiah Stane, actually hack into Tony's gear and make their own Iron Man suits. Rhodey now realizes that there will have to be an Iron Man, and if it's not him, it's going to be some villain. So then he would have to step up and take the mantle. And we could have even had Sam Wilson show up and encourage him along, just like Rhodey did for Sam in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
So you're gonna make me ask, why didn't you take up the mantle?
But instead, the multiverse saga has fumbled one of their best legacy characters. Rhodey could have been the heart of this saga, but instead he's been reduced to cameos and frankly the lamest Skrull reveal of all time. Like, the reveal that Rhodey was a Skrull lacked any impact on the Secret Invasion show, but it would have been a great setup for Armor Wars. Rhodey finds out that an evil alien has been wearing his face for years, damaging his personal life, letting Tony's secrets slip out to supervillains, and now Rhodey would have to repair all of that damage while also embracing his new role as a leader of the Avengers. That is why Armor Wars is the number one show that I want to see Feige hone in on and focus on and make a centerpiece of these new shows, the new saga that's coming up. I mean, frankly, the Multiverse saga has been hit and miss, but what I think we've really needed the whole time was just a darn Avengers movie where Rhodey as Iron Man could take the lead and reform this team. Well, guys, that's just my thoughts, but let us know your thoughts down in the comments below or at me on Twitter. And if it's your first time here, please subscribe and smash that bell for alerts. For Screen Crush, I'm Ryan Airy.